Today's daf is Chulin daf Samach Gimel, and we are 6 lines from the top of daf Samach Gimel Amar Aleph Amar Rav Yehuda. So we're moving along discussing the halachas of kosher birds versus non-kosher birds. And we saw the Mishnah already made the observation on daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph that whereas the Torah, when describing the kosher animal versus the non-kosher animal, same is true for the kosher fish versus the non-kosher fish. The Torah states specific simanim, how it is you're supposed to know what's kosher and non-kosher. For example, as it relates to the behemoth, the Torah says, "Ko mafreses parso v'shoishas shesa prosos." In other words, if it has split hooves, malas gero, additionally, it choose its cud, that you're allowed to eat. However, if it's a malagero and it's not mafris parasa, or if it's mafris parasa and it's not malagero, and like the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Beis, Hilchas Machalos Asura is kolshkein, if it's not a malagero and it doesn't have split hooves, there the halacha is, there you're not allowed to eat it. So the Torah delineates very clearly with simonim, how you're supposed to know what makes up the kosher behemoth and what's the non-kosher behemoth. As it relates to the oif, however, the Torah is more ambiguous. The Torah doesn't give any simon in how you're supposed to know what a kosher oif is versus a non-kosher oif. What the Torah does do is the Torah mentions many, many birds and says that those birds are not kosher. And it almost appears, just from reading the psukim in the Torah, that those birds are not kosher. Everything else, however, is kosher. Stating that, we saw it's rather complicated. And the truth is, just to go through these dafim that we're learning now, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos is a challenge in of itself, let alone when you go into the Rishonim and the Achronim. And I don't mean the names of the birds in the pictures. That's the easy part. It's more understanding what exactly Rashi Shita was, what exactly Tosfos Shita was. So in the allotted time that we have, we try to do what we do. But regardless, what emerged Pasha Pshat from the Gemara is that the reality is it's not only the 24 birds that are mentioned in the Torah that are halachically considered non-kosher birds, but really there's one of those 20 birds that's considered the paradigm for the non-kosher bird, and anything that's similar to that would also be considered non-kosher. And that was the bird referred to by the Torah as the Nesher, loosely translated as the eagle. Stating that, we'll see a little bit later that it's not so simple amongst the Rishonim that the Nesher is what we know today as the eagle. But regardless, the Torah, or Chazal, said that just like the Nesher is lacking 4 simanim, or has 4 unique character traits, we learn from there that any animal that has those 4 traits would be considered non-kosher. If, however, a knife does not have the 4 traits that the Nesher has, in other words, it doesn't have those 4 simanei tumah, rather it has even 1 simen of taira, the halach is that would be enough to render it kosher. What then are the simanei taira? For a behemoth, it's mafreses parso v'shoishas shesa prasos on the one hand, and malaskeira on the other hand. As it relates to the oif, it's number 1, it has to have an etzbi yaseira, it has to have a zefek, its korkovan has to be able to be peeled, and it has to be an oif that's enoy doiris. We also saw Rashi and Tosfos both speak out that any oif that's doiris be a dua, that it's an oif tamis. You have to reconcile that with everything that we just said. But regardless, whereas as it relates to the behemoth, the Torah made it very clear. There's 2 simanim of what makes up a kosher animal. When it comes to an oif, the Torah didn't mention anything about the kosher bird. What the Torah said was there's a whole list of non-kosher birds. Okay, so what's the list of non-kosher birds? So the truth is that just from being Mavis Edroid, you'll see there are 2 lists. There's a list in Parashas Shemini, and then there's a list again in Parashas Re'eh, which is not such a chiddush, because Re'eh is in Sefer Dvarim, which is Mishnah Torah, which to a degree is Chazara. Regardless, you have the list in Parashas Shemini, and you have the list again in Parshas Re'eh. The list in Parshas Shemini reads as follows. We're going to go through each one, or almost each one, in today's daf. The Torah says, "Ves elu tishaktu min ha'oif lo ye yachlu sheketzeim. Ves ha'nesher, ves ha'peres, ves ha'ozniyo. Ves ha'do'o, ves ha'ayo l'mino. Es kol oirev l'minoi. Ves bas ha'yano, ves ha'tachmos. Ves ha'shochav, ves ha'netz l'mineo. Ves ha'koiz, ves ha'sholoch, ves ha'yanchuf. Ves ha'tinchemes, ves ha'koz, ves ha'rocham. Ves ha'chasida ha'anofa l'mino. Ves ha'duchifas, ves ha'ataleh." Those make up the list in Parashas Shemini of the oifos that are non-kosher. If you look in Parashas Re'eh, there's another list, and the list is very, very similar, but it's not the same list. In fact, there's 3 differences between what the list in Parsha Shmini says and the list in Parsha Shrei. Number one, in Parsha Shmini, we have one of the non-kosher birds mentioned is the da'a. The Nesha, the Peres Tazniya, number four on the list is Ves Hada'a. The da'a is not mentioned in Parsha Shrei. Additionally, in Parsha Shrei, there are two birds listed as non-kosher that are not mentioned in Parsha Shmini. Number one, you have not the da'a, but you have the ra'a. And number two, you have the da'ya. So we had here in Parsha Shmini, that's Hada'a, the Es Ha'aya, the Mina. In Parsha Re'e, we don't have the Da'a, we have the Ra'a, Re'e Ra'a, we have the Ra'a, and whereas we have the Aya in Parsha Re'e, we also have another bird that rhymes with Aya, and that is the Da'ya. Either way, there's three differences between Parsha Shmini and Parsha Re'e. In Parsha Shmini, we have the Da'a. We don't have the da'a in Parsha Shrei. In Parsha Shrei, we have the ra'a and the da'ya, both of which we don't have in Parsha Shmini. Why is that? That's going to be discussed in great detail in today's daf. Regardless, the Gemara is going to begin with a detailed discussion trying to understand what exactly these birds mentioned in the Torah as the oifos tmeyama. Amar Amneimar, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said shalach, which is one of the oifos that are tamei, which bird is that? How do you identify that? That's the bird that scoops up fish from the bottom of the sea. Du chifas, what's that? Shehoidai kafos, it's hoid. It has this hat, so to speak, of feathers, which is really nice. It gives it its beauty. It's kafos, it gets tied down to its head. Rashi seems to describe it as its feathers can sometimes pop up or it can sometimes be folded into his head. Thus, kafos, milosh, and tied. Regardless, it's the word du chifas. It's made up of hoidai and kafos. It's the bird whose hoidai is kafos. That's the bird that Shlomo HaMelech used to bring the Shamir to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, where the Gemara says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he had the assistance of a worm known as the Shamir, and Shlomo HaMelech was trying to get the Shamir, but he didn't have access to it. So there was a Tarnagol that knew how to bring the Shamir to Shlomo HaMelech. The Tarnagol that Shlomo HaMelech used to get the Shamir, that's this Duchifas, Shahoyde Kafas. It's one of the non-kosher birds mentioned in the Torah. Rabbi Yechon, Omar, he would say the following pasuk, Mishpatecha Tohim Rabba, the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it reaches all the way to the depths of the sea. Because as we said, the Shalach goes to the depths of the sea to find its prey. So you see that those birds that are on the bottom of the sea, they're subject to the mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because through the shalach, they're being consumed. When Rabbi Yechon would see an ant, Omar, he would say, Tzidkoscha kaharekel. Ironically, he would say that tzedak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is massive. It's like the mountains. He was looking at a very small creature, not a very large creature, but Rabbi Yechon was trying to say that the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so abundant, it's so incredible that Hashem does tzedakah and chesed even with the lowly namala, even with the little ant. Omer Amemer, Amemer said, Likni ubatni shayim. These are two birds, they're kosher birds. Shaknoi ubatnoi, makum shenagu lechel oichlin. It depends. If you live in a place where it's makum shenagu to eat it, then you can eat it. Makum shenagu shaloi lechel. If you live in a place where the minig is not to eat it, don't eat it. Says the Gemara, Otobim and Haga Talia Milsa. What does this mean? It's totally a minig. Yeah, there's a concept of chumras and kulas, and there's a whole parak in Masechtas Pesachim that talks about makum shenagu, but obviously that's only with regards to things that have nothing to do with halacha. Whether these birds are kosher birds or non-kosher birds should not be totally admitted, but rather you should have to look at the siman and go through these difficult sugyas that we're learning right now and determine whether it's kosher or not kosher. How could it be totally in a makam shenagu? If you're allowed to do a malacha on Erev Pesach, okay, makam shenagu, yeah, makam shenagu, not. Sometimes you find a concept or a mother, place can talk about a bal nefesh should be machmer, but how can makam shenagu be the determining factor whether these birds are permissible to eat or not? So the Gemara says, no, loy kasha. Yesterday's not. Habas with the shchichi peres vaznia. Habas with the loy shchichi peres vaznia. These birds all had one simen of a kosher bird. Being that they had one simen of a kosher bird, the only birds that you would have to rule out before you eat it is the peres and the aznia. We said that the peres and the aznia were loy shchichi biyishuv. But apparently there were places where they were. Sometimes. Thus, the Mekoymos, where sometimes it was a Peres and Aznia, people would not eat any bird that had one simen of a kosher bird, because they were afraid that it might be the Peres and the Aznia. Where people lived in areas that there was no Peres Vaznia. So you didn't have to worry about it. So that's this B'minhog Natalia Milsa. Not that the halacha is based on minig. We know exactly what this bird is. It has one kosher siman. If you live in an area where it's shchichi, Peres and Aznia, then you can't eat it. Why? Because you're afraid that it might be the Peres and the Aznia. If you live in a place where it's loy shchichi, Peres and Aznia, then you'd be allowed to eat. Amar Abaye, kui vikakui, asiri. Kiko usa, shayu. The Marava, the Gemara says, Malki love it. That even though Abaye said that Kiko usa is okay to eat, and it's so they used to give Malkus for people that eat it, for Karola, they had a different name for it. They used to call it Tachvas, Tan Rabbanon, Tin Shemes. That Tin Shemes is one of the non-kosher birds mentioned in the list. It's in the list in Parshas Shmini, it's in the list in Parshas Re. Says the Gemara, what exactly is this Tin Shemes? It's the Ba'us Shebe Oifois. Maybe it's the Boaz Shebishrotzim. And the reference of that is another pasuk in Parashat Shmini, where the Torah is not talking about the non-kosher birds. There the Torah is talking about the Shmoina Shrotzim. So we know that there are Shmoina Shrotzim, whole parak in Masechta Shabbos, where if they die and they fall on somebody, the person becomes tummy. So not every sheretz is metama. There's only the special group of the Shmoina Shrotzim. This is an exclusive group of shrotzim, of insect, where they have the ability to be metama to masheretz. And when the Torah lists the Shmoina Shrotzim, it says, v'hanoka, v'hakoyach, v'halto, v'hachoymet, v'hatin shomes. So there's the tin shomes bird, and then there's the tinshamas sheretz. So the Gemara, the Brisa, speaks out that how do you know when it says tinshamas among the non-kosher birds, it's referring to the baos sheba'ifes, it's the tinshamas bird. Maybe it's referring to the baos shebishrotzim. And the Gemara gives a very obvious answer. This is easy. This is yud gimel midas shatar nedreshes vehem. Tanit v'Rabbi Yishmael 101. Why? Because Dover, I love it, man. Just look at the context. It doesn't make sense. We're talking about a whole bunch of birds that are non-kosher. We mentioned the tinshamas. We're probably not referring to the sheretz tinshamas. We're probably referring to the oif tinshamas. You find a similar braisa in the reverse, in the context of shrotzim. The tinshamas, bolish of the shrotzim. The braisa over there was discussing the shmoina shrotzim. And it mentions the tinshamas and says that is the sheretz type of tinshamas. Maybe the tinshamas mentioned the parish of the shrotzim is actually referring to the tinshamas of the oifes. Look at the context. One of the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayr Nidreshes Bem is Dovra Alamed Bin Yonah. In English, look at the context, right? What's the context? We're talking about Oifis, then the Tinshemes is probably the Tinshemes Sheba Oifis. We're talking about Shrotzim, then the Tinshemes is probably the Sheretz version. Either way, Amar Abaya, Boos Sheba Oifis. What exactly is this Boos Sheba Oifis? Kifuf, Boos Sheba Shrotzim. What is that? Kurpadoi. If you look at Rashi, varfs a few French words when describing what exactly this tinshemes is. And if you look at the English translation of the French words that Rashi quotes, it seems that Rashi had two pshatim of what the tinshemes is. Either the owl or the bat, the inkamakomi. Amar Rav Yehuda, ka'os. What is the ka'os? Zu akuk. Racham. That's another one of the non-kosher birds. Zu shrakrak. Amar Rav Yechanan. Lama nikra shmoy racham. Why is this shrakrak called racham? Because kiven shaba, as soon as it comes, racham, ba'u rachamim la'olam. It brings rachamim to the world. Rashi says, rachamim, one word, matar. So apparently the racham would come, it would make noise, and you knew that it was going to rain. So being that this bird would signal rain, rain is rachamim, thus it's called the racham, because it brings rachamim la'olam. Amar Abibi Barabaya, Behudi Yosef Amidi. This is only true if it's sitting, va'avit shrakrak, and it makes noise. English shrieks. The Gemiri, di Yosef Aravashak, that if the racham would sit not just on something, but it would sit on Arav, it would sit on the ground, Asa Meshicha. That would be a sign that not only is rachamim coming la'olam, Rashi Matar, but it means Mashiach is coming. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Eshrik Olohem va'akabtzeim kifedisem v'ravu kamay ravu. So before Mashiach comes, Eshrik Olohem. What's the Eshrika? It's that bird that's the Shrakrak, which is the Racham. which is a non-kosher bird, interesting. But regardless, when that bird makes noise, when it is oisa, it's shrakrak. Ordinarily, if as long as it's sitting, what it means is that rachamim is coming loivam. Thus made rachamim Rashi, one word, matar. If it would sit on the ground, then it would do that. It means Mashiach's coming. Amalei Rav Adabar, Shimi v'marbarav idoi, v'ahudi yosef be'karba. I once saw a bird, it sat in a plowed field, v'sharak, it shrieked, v'asa golol, and you know what happened? Mashiach didn't come. A rock came, afsakei l'moichein, it cracked its skull. Amalei, so he told him, who bide the havet? That bird was a liar. It wasn't telling the truth. And as a result, it got punished for not telling the truth. But on Erlich Racham, on Erlich Shrakrak, it would only shriek sitting on the ground if Mashiach's coming. And if you see that happening, it means you have to get ready. Tan Rabban, an Oirev. What is the Oirev? Is that Oirev? It's the Oirev. Okay. Es Kol Oirev. When it says in the Torah, Es Kol Oirev, it's Lahavi Oirev Ha'amaki. It's coming to include not just the Oirev, as in the standard, typical Oirev, but also the Oirev Ha'amaki. When it says the word laminai, it's lahavi oirev haba berashe yoinim. And the Gemara is going to explain. So again, the pasuk is four words. Ace called oirev laminai. We spoke a little bit about this pasuk in yesterday's now. Ace called oirev laminai. So it's the rabbi's number one, the oirev. That's what the word oirev means. Ace call is coming to include the oirev ha'amaki. And then when the Torah says laminai, the last word in the pasuk, it's lahavi oirev haba berashe yoinim. So the Gemara, amama, oirev ze oirev. Atu kaman koi. Right, sounds like there was some confusion of what exactly the Oirev was. So the Tana, the Brayso said, you want to know what the Oirev is? It's the Oirev. Now, if the Oirev was sitting here, and the Tana was pointing to the Oirev, then it would make sense. Oh, you see that Oirev, that's what it is. But v'chayra, there was no Oirev in Beis Medrash when the Tana was saying over the Salacha, there were shtenders and Gemaras. So what does it mean, Oirev ze Oirev? How are you supposed to know what that means? So the Gemara says, Aleima Oirev ze Oirev Uchma. It means the Stam Oirev, which is a black raven. The Chen Weimer, how do you know that the raven is black? It's a pasuk at Shirashirim. Roishoi kesem pas, kfutsoisov taltalim, shchayrois. It's black like an oirev. Ha'amaki. What is the oirev ha'amaki that's included from the words eskol chivara? That's not the black raven, but rather it's the white raven. The chenu oimer, the pasuk says, umareu amaik min ha'ar. The context over there is the Torah is talking about a white nega, and it describes its appearance as being deeper than the flesh, deeper than the skin. Umareu amaik. So you see that white is considered amaik. Thus, the white raven is called the Oirev Amaki. Additionally, another pasuk, Kamari Chamo Ha'amukum Natzel. The Chamo's appearance is considered to be more amaik than the shade. It's lighter, so you see lighter is considered amaik. Thus, the Oirev Amaki is the light color. It's the white raven as opposed to the black raven. The Oirev Abab Rashi Yevonim. What does that mean? So we said that when it says, hey, it's called Oirev Lamina. Lamina is coming to include that Oirev that's the Roish Hayavan, Amar Papa Loi Tema. Don't think that what it means is the Asi Bereish Yoini, that it's the Oirev that's like it leads the pigeons. It's the Roish of the Yoinim. That's not what it means. Elo the Dami Roish of the Yoinim. There's an Oirev whose head looks like the head of a pigeon, and that's that Oirev Habab Roish Yoinim that the Torah includes is also Aser because it says Eis called Oirev Lamina. Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Ha nitz, it says in the Torah, Vespas Hayana, Vesa Tachmots, Vesa Shochav, Ves Hanetz Lamine. What's the nitz? Lahavi is Bas Chiri, Bar Chiria, my Bar Chiria, Amrabayo Shurinko, Amrav Yehuda, Ha Chasida. What's the Chasida? Zudaya Levana. It's the bird known as the Daya Levana. Lamene Kishma Chasida. Sha'oisa Chasidos and Chavreisel. Because it does Chesed, Rashi says, Michalekas Mezoinoisel. It shears its food in Chavreisel, and it's for that reason it's called the Chasida. The Sharif said that if the Chasida does Chesed, so why is it a non-kosher bird? It should have been a kosher bird. So he said, you have to be medayik the Lashon HaGemara. The Chasida does Chesed, but only in Chavreisel. She only does Chesed with her friends. She doesn't do Chesed with people that are not part of her Chevra, that are not her friends. As a result, it's a non-kosher bird. Anafa, what's that bird? Zudaya Ragzon. Salman HaKishma, Anafa, why is this angry bird, so to speak, called Daya Ragzon. So why is it called the Anofa Shemana Efesim Im Chavrei Seh? Rashi says it's a pasuk in the Torah. Gambi is Hisanaf Hashem Bi Lamanchem. Right, you find Vayis Anaf is a lotion of anger. So that's the idea of the Anofa. It's the Daya Ragzon. Amar Rav Chanon, Bar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Chanon Brei De Rava, Amar Rav Esrim Varba, Oifoist Meim. If you sit down and you do the math,
and you count all the birds, what you're going to see is there are 24 birds. So again, a little bit of an introduction, just to chazer over what we spoke at in the intro to the daf, because the next part of the daf, it's not so hard, but it's going to get technical. And that is, the Torah mentions the non-kosher birds twice in the Torah. The Torah mentions it in Parshas Shemini, and the Torah mentions it in Parshas Re'eh again. Incidentally, in Parshas Re'eh, in Mishnah Torah, when the Torah chazers over the list of the non-kosher birds, so over there, the Torah prefaces the list of non-kosher birds by saying, Kol tzipar tahayra toichelu. You're allowed to eat every kosher bird. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, he brings from the Chidah, in his Machzik Bracha, when you're there, Simon Pebez, who says a Dover Nifla, Kol tzipar tahayra toichelu. He said, Shamati b'shem Arizal, that the word tzipar, the oisis, tzei, tzadik, pei, vav, resh, which the Torah is mentioning here in the context of the kosher bird, called tzipar tahayra teichelu, is a remes to the four simani taira of a bird. What are the four simanim? An etzba yisera, a zefek, an enoi doires, and a korkovan. He says the second letter of each one of the four simanim is oisis tzipar. Etzba, aleph tzadik, that's the tzadik. Zefek, Zayim Pei, that's the Pei. Doires is Dalet Vav, that's the Vav. And Kurkavan is Kuf Resh, that's the Resh. So he said, Tzipar is Etzpa, Zefek, Doires, Kurkavan. He brings from the Sefer Avir HaRoyim, that's the Toldus of the Avnei Nezer, that the Avnei Nezer was once told the Svart of Narizal. And the first thing he said was that no Narizal could have said something like this. It's Mamish Divrei Nevius, that called Tzipar, Tahira Teichelu, in Tzipar is Merumas, the four Simani Tahira. But then the Avnei Nezer was Moisef. He said that really, what's the Vav? We said Doires. The truth is, the Simon is not that it's Doires. The Simon is that it's Enoi Doires. So he said, if anything, it should have been Enoi Doires. Why is it Doires? He said, the truth is, the Vav is silent. Because when you say tzipar, you don't pronounce the vav. It's tzadik peresh. In Yeshem Mamikra, there's not even a vav. It's only in the Yeshem Mamisiris you have the vav. See, you know why the vav is silent? Because it's any dairis. It's not really dairis. It's any dairis. But regardless, so it's called tzipar daira toichelu. You have the list in Parashas Shemini. You have the list in Parashas Re'eh. Now, we said there's three differences between the two lists. Number one, in Parashas Shemini, the Torah mentions a bird called the da'a, which is the non-kosher bird. It's not mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. Additionally, in Parashas Re'eh, there's a bird called the Ra'a. There's a bird called the Ra'a, which is mentioned as a non-kosher bird, which is not mentioned in Parashas Shemini. Additionally, you have the Daya, which is mentioned in Parashas Re'eh, which is not mentioned in Parashas Shemini. Now, if you do the math, in Parashas Shemini, there are 20 non-kosher birds mentioned. If you do the math, in Parashas Re'eh, there are 21 non-kosher birds that I mentioned, right? It's the same list. We said there's one that Parashas Shemini has that Parashas Re'eh doesn't have. There are two that Parashas Re'eh has that Parashas Shemini doesn't have. So you have a net positive of one in Parashas Re'eh. So it's 20 in Parashas Shemini, and it's 21 in Parashas Re'eh. Now, we've kept on saying, we had it already right in the beginning of the sugi, there are 24 non-kosher animals. How do you get to 24? It's either 20, or it's 21, or if you want to add the da'a to the list of the 21 of Parashas Re'eh, then Hechsons, you would have 22. How do you end up with 24? That's the Gemara. So again, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chiz, Amar Rav Chiz, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rav Amar Rav. That's from Abba Oifis to Mayhem. There are 24 non-kosher birds. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chiz, Rav Chiz, Dodei Eichel. How do you come up with 24? Ida Vayikra. If you go through the birds that I mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, Parashas Shemini, Esrim Av, it's 20. Ida Mishnah Torah. If you want to count the ones that I mentioned in Mishnah Torah, which is Parashas Re'eh, Esrim V'chadav, it's 21. V'chitei Medod, Chsib Vayikra, Lo Sib Mishnah Torah, Shad Yalayu. And if what it means is you have to take the one that's mentioned in Parashas Shemini, add it to the 21 that I mentioned in Parashas Re'eh, so then you have 21 plus one, back of the envelope arithmetic, Akati Esav Etreinav, then what you're going to end up with 22. So how do you have 24? Amalei, he told the Hachi Amar Avudi, Imach Mishmei Derav, Lemina, 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 Lemineo. There's four times that the Torah mentions the word Lemina, 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 Lemineo in Parashas Shemini. We just had now, it's called Oirev Lemino. But there's four such mentions in Parashas Shemini. Each one is coming to be Marba, another non-kosher bird. In other words, what you have is an additional four. But the Gemara says, it still doesn't work. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's do the math. Ihachi esrim v'shesava. Because l'chura, you should have the 21 in Parashas Re'eh, add the da'a of Parashas Shemini, which gives you 22, plus lamina, 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 lamineo is another 4. You should end up with 26. Amra Abaya. So Abaya said, da'a v'ra'a achas. You have to say that the da'a mentioned
in Parashat Shmini and the Ra'ah mentioned in Parashat Re'eh are really one and the same. So you don't have one in Shmini that's not mentioned in Re'eh and one in Re'eh that's not mentioned in Shmini. We said the Da is in Parashat Shmini, it's not mentioned in Parashat Re'eh. The Ra'ah is mentioned in Parashat Re'eh, it's not mentioned in Parashat Shmini. They're one and the same. The Da and the Ra'ah are the same. And Rabbi said, I'll prove it to you. Because if you're going to tell me that the Ra'ah and the Da are two different birds, when the Torah has it over, the birds in Mishnah Torah, the intention was not to subtract from what was already mentioned in Parashat Shmini. It was either to chazer or more likely to add something that wasn't mentioned in Torah's Kainim. Is Maishna Hacha the Siv Da, or Maishna Hacha the Siv Ra of a life Siv Da? So, how's it possible that in Parashat Re'eh, the Torah would omit something that was already mentioned in Parashat Shmini? Elish, Mami, no, it must be. It's not possible that there's something in Shmini that's not mentioned in Re'eh. Because Mishnah Torah is Chazara plus. And here it's a subtraction. You have something mentioned in Shmini that's not mentioned in Re'eh. Must be the Min Rav Eda Achasi. It must be the one and the same. Okay, so if they're one and the same, how many do you have now? So you have 21 plus 4, right? We thought we had 22, but we just omitted one because we said the Ra and the Da that we were counting as two really should be counted as one. Okay, 22 minus 1 is 21, plus the 4, Lamina, 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 Lamineo, you end up with 25. So, faith to worry about Kati Chavheya, but you still only have 25. Amr Abaya. Abaya said, Kashem Shera'a, Vida, Achasi, just like the Ra and the Da are one, Kach Aya, Vidaya, Achasi. So too, the Aya and the Daya are also one. So, the Aya is mentioned in Parashat Shmini and in Parashat Re'eh. The Daya is not mentioned in Parashat Shmini. That's the other one that's mentioned in Parashat Re'eh that wasn't mentioned in Parashat Shmini. The Ra and the Daya. In fact, when the Torah brings it, it says, V'ha-ra'a, that's ha'aya, v'ha-daya lemina. So said Abaya, that just like the Ra and the Da, they sound similar, they're the same. So to the Aya and the Daya, which also sounds similar, they're also the same. And he said, I'll prove it to you, Abaya. It has to be that way. These look like a tartar, because if you're going to tell me that the Aya and the Daya are not the same, Mechti, Mishnah Torah le'sufa di'as. We said Mishnah Torah is coming to add to Parashat Shmini. Ma'ishna hacha d'chsev lemina a'aya, u'ma'ishna hasam d'chsev lemina a'daya. When the Torah mentions the Aya in Parashat Shmini, it says the Aya, and it says lemina. That's hada'a, that's ha'aya, lemina. That's Parashat Shmini. So it says the word lemina with regards to the Aya. But when the Torah mentions the Aya in Parashat Re'eh, it doesn't say lemina. It says v'hara, that's ha'aya, the Hadayo Lamina. It doesn't say that the Ayah is going to be Lamina. It doesn't make sense. Lamina, we said, is going to be Marba something. It's called Oirev Lamina. We said it's coming to be Marba, a certain type of Oirev. So clearly, Lamina is being Marba something. It's adding to what you would otherwise think. If that's the case, if it mentioned Lamina by the Ayah in Parashat Shmini, and it doesn't mention Lamina by the Ayah in Parashat Re'eh, it would mean that Parashat Re'eh is subtracting from what we already have in Parashat Shmini. And that can't be. Ella, you know what you have to say? Shema Mina, Ayah v'daya achasi. Ayah v'daya must be one. If Ayah v'daya are one, so we're not subtracting because it says Ayah Lamina in Parashat Shmini. It says Daya Lamina in Parashat Re'eh. Ayah and Daya is the same thing. So both by Ayah and by Daya, you both have the Lamina. Point is if Ayah and Daya is the same, we were counting them as two. Really, they're only one. So you end up with how much? 20. So we thought you had 22. How'd you get 22? You took the 21 of Parashas Re'eh, you added the Da'a, which is mentioned in Parashas Shmini, it's not mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. You have 22 plus 4, you have 26. How does it stem with the Messiah of 24? The answer is that we were counting Ra and Da as two. We were also counting Ayah and Daya, they're both mentioned separately in the same Parashas and Parashas Re'eh, as two. Really, Ayah and Daya is one, Ra and Da is one. So it's not 22 plus 4, it's 20 plus 4. That's how you end up with your 20. Says the Gemara, "P'chini yachas she'ayah v'daya achas." If ayah and daya really one, lama lein l'michtav ayah v'daya? Why did Torah mention both? So the Gemara k'detanya. Rabbi Yoimi, Rabbi explained it in a brisa. Ekrani ayah daya lama nemer k'deishli titan piska pelabadin lachlik. Because we wanted to be lahoitzi liliban shal tzadikim. We wanted to make this as clear as possible. Shloite atakira ayah v'hu kira daya atakira daya. There must have been some confusion with what this bird was called. Some people called it ayah. Some people called it daya. The kach kasa b'mishnah Torah. That's how ayah the hadaya lamina to make it clear the ayah the daya, not that they're two birds, but it doesn't matter what you call it. The bottom line is it's 100% awesome. Why did the Torah chazer over the kosher and non-kosher animals in Parashas Re'eh? Because there's one halacha that's mentioned in Parashas Re'eh that we don't know
from Parshas Shmini, and that is the halach of the Shesua. Uba oifos, why did the Torah chazer over the oifos? Mipnei hara, says the Gemara. My la mida behema, the hasam la sufe. The Shesua is a whole different animal, as the Gemara had discussed earlier. So, l'chaira, and we're equating the hisafa of the behemoth mentioned in Parashas Re'eh to the Yisaf of the Oifas mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. So it doesn't sound like they should be the same. We should be consistent. And just like the Yisaf of behemoth is a new behemoth, maybe by Oifas it's a new behemoth. We said now there's no new behemoth. It's the same list. The list in Parashas Shmini is the same as the list in Parashas Re'eh. Right, at the end of the day, there's 20 mentioned in Parashas Shmini. That's the 20. 20 Parashas Shmini, and the 21 mentioned in Parashas Re'eh is the same list. It's really 20 plus the Lamina, 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 Lamina. But regardless, doesn't it sound a little bit from this Braisa that the Hisafa Behema, which is a new type of Behema, is the same as the Hisafa the Oifas? And the Gemara says, no. Hasam Leisufe, Hacha Lefrushe. It's up to Gemara, what we just said. And that is, there are 24 non-kosher birds, Upliga de Rabavo. This is not consistent with something that Rabavo said. Rabavo said, Ra'a zu aya. The Ra is the aya. V'lama nikashma Ra, why is it called the Ra? Sheraya b'yayser. The reason it's called the Ra is because it can see very far. V'chenu, why made a pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Iyot, Nasiv lo yudai oyet, v'loy shizafatu ein aya. It's mashma from this spot that even the ayah can't see it. It sees so far. Tana, how far could the ayah see? I mean, it's above El. It could be standing above El. V'roya nevela be'eretz Yisrael. And it's able to see a nevela in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so before we go weiter, and the Gemara makes the cheshbon. So, says the Gemara, what we just said, that there's 24 birds based on two assumptions, that the ra and the da are the same, and the ayah and the daya are the same. Thus, you have 20 mentions of non-kosher birds, plus lamina, 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 lamineo. That's how you end up with 24. It's pliga de Rabbi Avoh. This doesn't work with what Rabbi Avoh said. Why? Because Rabbi Avoh said that the ra is the ayah. And if that's the case, according to Rabbi Avoh, you're not going to have 24, you're going to end up with 23. Why? Because if the ra is the ayah, and the ra is the da, and the ayah is the daya, so that means that those four just became one. It's all one and the same. We had the Ra and the Da is one, and the Ayah and the Daya is the one. If the Ra and the Ayah are also one, that means the Ra and the Da, the Ayah and the Daya, are four names for the same exact bird. So if it's all one, then what we counted as two, because we had the Ra and the Da one, the Ayah and the Daya one, so in our Cheshbin of 24, the four were two. In Rabbi Avoh's Cheshbin of 24, the four are really one. If that's the case, it must be that he has one less than what we have. So if we have 24, Rabbi Avoh had 23. Thus, says the Gemara, Upligad Rabbi Avoh, our Cheshbon, Rav Chisda said that there's 24 non-kosher birds, doesn't stem with Rabbi Avoh. Now the Gemara is going to just make the Cheshbon inside. How do you know? Maybe Rabbi Avoh holds of 24 as well, but Rabbi Avoh doesn't agree that either the Ra is the Da, or that the Ayah is the Daya. He holds that the Ra is the Ayah, but that one of the others are not the same. If that's the case, maybe he can end up with the same exact 24. And the Gemara is going to say it's not possible, based on the Cheshbon that we said before. Because we proved that the Ra and the Da were one. We proved that the Ayah and the Da were one. These weren't just Svaris. This the Gemara proved. How did the Gemara prove it? Because the Gemara said if the Ra and the Da are not the same, that it comes out that the Da is mentioned in Parashas Re'eh, and it's not, I mean, it's mentioned in Parashas Shmini, and it's not mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. That means Parashas Re'eh omitted one of the non-kosher birds that were mentioned in Parashas Shmini. And that can't be, because Mechti, the Gemara said, Mishneh Teirah Laisufi Da'asa. Mishneh Teirah is coming to be Meisav. So it must be that somewhere the Da'as mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. Where's it mentioned? Oh, it's probably the Ra. The Ra and the Da, one and the same. So it wasn't just the Svarah. We had proved it. We also proved that Ayah and Daya was the same. How did we prove it? Because when the Torah mentions the Ayah in Parshas Shmini, it says Veso Ayah Lamino. When the Torah mentions the Ayah in Parshas Re'eh, it doesn't say Veso Ayah Lamino. Lamino is coming to include something. So if it doesn't say Lamino in Parshas Re'eh, that means the list of Parshas Re'eh is taking away again from Parshas Shmini. And again, Mechti Mishnah Torah Leisuvei, so they can't be. So he said, oh, must be the Ayin, that Daya is the same. So even though it doesn't say Ayalamina in Parshas Re, it says Dayalamina in Parshas Re. And Dayalamina and Ayalamina is essentially the same thing. So the Gemara is going to taina that really can't say that Rabbi Avo holds of 24. And although Rabbi Avo said the Ra and the Ayah are the same, but maybe he holds the Ra and the Da aren't the same. Or maybe he holds the Ayah and the Daya aren't the same. So just like we made two from these four, Rabbi Avo also made two from these four, albeit a different two, because both of the twos that we made from four, both of those cheshbonos were proven. The ayah had to be the daya, and the ra had to be the da. And it's not possible for Rabbi Avo to disagree with that. If it's not possible, Rabbi Avo to disagree with that. And Rabbi Avo holds that the ra is the ayah, so if the ra has to be the da, and the ayah has to be the daya, and the ra also has to be the ayah, it means that the Ra also has to be the Daya, and the Da also has to be the Ayah and the Ra. It means it's all the same, right? So if it's all the same, so it comes out, you have 23, thus, Upligid Rabbi Vos. Everything we just spoke out, Baal Peh, we'll see inside. Something in Mara. Midra, Hainu Ayah, Michlal de Da, Lav Hainu Ra. The only way to have Rabbi Vos being 24, if the Ra is the Ayah, is by saying that the Da is not the Ra. But the Gemara says you can't say that because Mechti Mishnah Torah Lesufi Da'asa. Ma'ay Shalach Da'ksiv Da, Ma'ay Shalach Da'lo Yksiv Da, Elav Shema Min Adav Ra'a Achasi. It has to be one and the same because otherwise you have the Da in Shmini that you don't have in Re'eh. That's not a possible. So the Gemara says, okay, the only other way to make Rabbi Avo work and say Rabbi Avo holds of 24 is mid the Ra Hainu Ayah, Michlal De'Ayah, Lav Hainu Ayah. Maybe the Da'ayah and the Ayah is not the same. But the Gemara says that it can't either because Ma'ay Shalach Da'ksiv Lemin Ayah, who Ma'ay Shalach Da'ksiv Lemin Ayah. Ella Adaya Ella Shmamina Dovera Daya Va'aya Achasi. If they're all one, must be Rabbi Avo has one less than we have, because we made from those four two. Rabbi Avo made from those four one. We had 24. Must be Rabbi Avo has 23. Says the Gemara, Upliga the Rabbi Avo. Drop more Gemara. Tanya Isa ben Yehuda Oimer. Meya Oifais Tmeim Yesh ben Mizrach. Vikulon min Ayohen. They're 24 birds, ben Mizrach, and they're all different types of ayah. Tani Avimi Breid Rabbi Avo, Zayin Meis Mine Doginhe. There's 700 types of dogin. Ves Meis Mine Chagovin, 800 types of grasshoppers. Ula Oifois Ein Mispar, says the Gemara. Oifois, what do you mean? Chavtal Rabbi, I thought it's 24. Elula Oifois Tahirim Ein Mispar means there's no limit to the amount of Oifois Tahirim there are. Exhale. We'll pick up the Gemara tomorrow. But before we end, just to end with one ha'ara, and that is, so we're discussing over here the oifos tmei. As mentioned, the oifos tahirim and tmeim, the simonim that make up a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird, are not mentioned in the Torah. So whereas by the behemoth, the Torah singles out exactly what the simonim are of a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal. When it comes to the bird, the Torah doesn't mention anything about what makes up a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird. What the Torah does do is the Torah mentions 20, 21, which is really 24 non-kosher birds. As it relates to everything else, it's a little confusing what exactly we're supposed to take away from the sugya, Rashi, Tosfos, as we mentioned in the introduction, Ayin B'Rishonim and the Achronim. But the Pashta seems to be that as long as an oif has one of the four kosher simanim, Einoi Doires, Kurkavonoi Niflach, has an Etzbiyaseir or a Zefek, that would be enough for it to be kosher. And the reason is because the paradigm of the non-kosher bird is the Nesher. It's the first of the birds that the Torah mentions is non-kosher. It's first in the list in Parashas Shmini. It's first in the list in Parashas Re'eh. So the paradigm of the non-kosher bird became the Nesher. And being that the paradigm became the Nesher, it's for that reason. Just like the Nesher doesn't have any Simone Taira. It's a Doires. It doesn't have the Etzbi Yisera. It doesn't have a Zefek. Its Kurkavan is not Nikla. So too, in order for a bird to be considered non-kosher, it would have to be similar to the Nesher. It's interesting that the Nesher was chosen as the symbol of the non-kosher bird, because the Nesher has a lot of significance within in the Torah Shabbat Ksav. I mean, you find the Nesher mentioned very often. Number one, Yecheskel Hanavi, Yecheskel Perek Aleph, in the Maisa of Merkavos, when Yecheskel looks up, he says he saw the Kisei HaKavod, and he saw four faces on the Kisei HaKavod. He saw a Dmus Adam, he saw the Dmus of a lion, he saw the Dmus of a Shor, of an ox, and he saw the Dmus of a Nesher. So the Dmus of a Nesher is Chakuk in the Kisei HaKavod. It's a non-kosher animal. The truth is the lion is also non-kosher. But it's interesting that he saw an Adam, he saw a Shor, he saw a lion, an Aryeh, and you saw a nesher as well, Pashup Shad, and I saw in the Aznaim L'Toyra, in Parashat Shmini, he says that the reason that these four faces are etched into the Kisei HaKavod, because they're all the Malachim, they're all the kings of their respective kingdoms. The Adam is Moshe al Aretz. The lion is the king of the animal kingdom. The Shur is the king of the behemoths. And the Nesher is the king of the birds. So it's more because of the fact that it's a king that it's mentioned. It's less so because of the fact that it's kosher. And Chanami, it really is a non-kosher. Another place you find the Nesher is in Parashas Yisroel. So we just learned this on Shabbos. Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'ese eschem al kanfei nisharim, v'odhi eschem alai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'ese eschem al kanfei nisharim. So I think it's good just to digress, just to lighten the mood a little bit for a few minutes with regards to this pasuk. So we're talking about Nesher, 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 Gzeir Shova Mufna. So we'll just talk about Atem Re'isim Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim V'Esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim V'Avi Eschem Alay. You know, it's interesting. It's Murgula B'Pumi De'Inshi that when Mashiach comes, we're all going to go on the wings of eagles, quote unquote, and we're all going to be taken to Yerushalayim. Where does it come from? Presumably this pasuk, I think. Atem Re'isim Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim V'Esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim. That's a little bit of a misnomer, because this pasuk is not describing an event that's going to happen in the future. This pasuk is actually describing an event that took place in the past. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking about Chodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's Chodesh Sivan, the Yidden are about to get the Torah, and they get a little schmooze right before Kabbalah HaTorah V'Yisrael Yisugulim Yikol HaAmim V'atam Tiyulim HaMlachas Kainah V'Goy Kodesh. Some of the most beautiful psukim in the Torah are right here in Parashas Yisrael. And one of the things that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, V'ayikra Eilav Hashem in Ahar Leymar Koysoy Malavei Siakoy V'Sagad V'Bnei Yisrael. This is the Musa Shmuzes of all Musa Shmuzes. Atem Ro'isim Esrei Ratzizim L'Mitzrayim V'Esa Eschon Kafi Nishon. The truth is, the Rishonim discuss when exactly this happened. When in history did this take place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I took you on the wings of eagles. So Rashi already addresses the question. Rashi says that we know that when Yidden were in Mitzrayim, where did they live? They lived in Goshen. But when they left Mitzrayim, where did they depart from? Where was the proverbial airport? Where did they leave Mitzrayim from? They left from Ramses. So how did all of Klal Yisrael, the Chavushim, all of Yisrael, the Eretz Mitzrayim, how did they get to Ramses to be able to exit Mitzrayim and begin the 40-year journey in the Midbar? Says Rashi, V'eso eschem zeh hayom shavo Yisrael Ramses. This is the day that the Yidden went to Ramses. Shavo Yisrael mefuzarim b'chol eretz Goshen. They were spread throughout Goshen. U'lesho kalo, k'shavo lisa v'lotzeis, nikbetzu kulam l'Ramses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden on the wings of eagles, and he took them to Ramses. That's what the pasuk is referring to when it says Ve'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim. If you look in the Targum Yonason on this pasuk, Ve'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim, so this is Aramaic, not so easy to read. Uta'onis yaschoin al anonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden on Anani HaKovid. Hei ka'al gadfei nishrin, which was like kanfei nisharim. Not literally kanfei nisharim. It was like kanfei nisharim. Min pilusin. Ve'ivelus yaschoin. And where did he take the Yidden? So he went to Kanfei Nesharim. Where? La'asar Beis Mukdasha. He took them to the Beis HaMikdash. Le'meva Tamon Pischa. To be able to bring the carpet Pesach. We know the Yidden brought a carpet Pesach when they were in Mitzrayim. They brought the Pesach Mitzrayim. Where was the Pesach Mitzrayim brought? Pasha, it was brought in Mitzrayim. That's the Pesach Mitzrayim. No, it wasn't brought in Mitzrayim. It was actually brought in the Malkam HaMikdash. But the Yidden were in Goshen. They were in Ramses. How did they get to the Malkam HaMikdash? Says the Targum Yoinis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden. He took them on the Anani HaKavid. Ubahu Lelya. And that night, Oisivas Yaschen Lefilusen. He brought them to the Malkam HaMikdash. Umitamon Krivas Yaschen Leufanai Raisi. And that's the end of the Pasuk. Va'avi Yaschem Alai. So when exactly, what was the Va'esa Eschem HaKavid? It wasn't from Goshen to Ramses, so that we should all be now ready to depart. Rather, what it meant was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden when Anani HaKavod, he brought them to Yerushalayim. I saw there, Shmuel Yankiv, in his Sefer, Zois LeYakov, on this pasuk, so he says something beautiful. He says that we say in Parshas Kisavai, in the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim, so the pasuk says, V'yivyeinu al amokim hazeh, V'yitein lonu esa oretz hazois, Erez avas chavod v'ashvay, so the Yidden has Bikurim, he brings it to Beis HaMikdash, he's going to give it to the Kayanim, and he has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, HaKoros HaTov, starts from the beginning, Arami Yovidavi, and he works up, finally, you brought us there to Israel, and you gave us the land where milk and honey flow. The parasha bikur. So what does he say? Zok Rashi. You gave us the Beis Hamikdash. And you gave us Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Shmuel Yankiv stelled that why does it mention first the Beis Hamikdash and then Eretz Yisrael? It should have been in the reverse order. First you gave us the Beis Hamikdash, then you gave us Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua, but 480 years later, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Hamikdash. So really the Beis Hamikdash chronologically came much later, centuries later, than actually getting Eretz Yisrael. Like the Targum Yonah said, it's very nice. The Yidden came first to the Beis Hamikdash. When was that? Va'avi Eschem. That's when the Yidden came to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was years later, it was 40 years later, that the Yidden got it. But regardless, that's the Cheshvan, it's beautiful that it was in that order. I saw it. I hear there was no Beis HaMikdash. It was all Derek Ness, but I hear very nice. But the emes is that you have to. The emes is, I saw another pshat. I saw in the Znaim L'Toyra, again from the Lutzke Rav. So he says maybe a different pshat. What does it mean? Ve'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim. Says when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the Mentes Shari Toma. Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Valalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Yecheskel described it in very great detail in Perek Chaf, where the Yidden were stufim, they were steeped in the culture of the Egyptians. The Rambam talks about it in his Mayor Nevuchim. Regardless, the Yidden were in a very bad spiritual place when they left Mitzrayim. What happened? It wasn't that much later that the Yidden stood at the foot of Har Sinai and they were mekabel the Torah. They had Kriyas Yamsev where Ros Hashivcho Bayom Mashaloi Ro Yechesko Bambuzi Lo'ilam. I mean, they needed mitzvahs in order to be Zoycha. So they had Va'erach Ve'ever Alayich Ve'erach Mispoiseses B'damayich Ve'oimelach B'damayich Chayiv D'mayich Chayiv D'amilu D'am Pesach. They were pushing, trying to chap a mitzvah so that they should have some schus to me. But with the Yidden, they went 0 to 60 in a nanosecond. They literally went from being a Mitzrayim, Halalu and all of a sudden they're bringing a carbon Pesach and there's this kanfei nesharim and all of a sudden there's kriyas yamsev v'ras hashivcha bayom mashalei roi yecheskel bambuzi v'atem tili mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh, and then the mekabel the Torah where every single yid was a navi, the Rambam in Perek Ches milchus yisoydi atayr. I mean, all the schools, everything that we know, this all happened in such a short period of time. See, he said the Yidden went from being so low to so high in such a short period of time. Not just physically, where they were avodim ayinu l'parei b'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu Hashem, but spiritually, says the Lutzke Rav, that's the emphasis. V'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden and he put them on the proverbial kanfei nisharim. He brought them so high, spiritually. He lifted them up from the depths of the tumah that they were in, va'avi eschem elai. So now they should be on the madrega where they should be able to see mashalei ro yecheskel babuzim yoylam, where they should be able to be makabel Torah. The va'eva esos kanfei nesharim. The kanfei nesharim suggests that it's very, very high. Rashi says, why the nesher? Why not any other bird? Says Rashi, kinesher hanoise goizolov al knafav. Like the nesher, when it carries its children, it carries it on top of its wings. Shekol shara oifos. All the other birds noisnen as bneim ben ragleim. When they carry their children, they carry them beneath them, in their feet. Because they're worried about a bird that flies high in them, it should come after them. But this nesher enoi misyori ela min ha'odom. He's only worried about the person. Because he flies higher than any other bird. There's no bird that flies as high as him. It's for that reason that he puts him on top of his birds. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did the same exact thing. It says, the Yidden didn't just go, they didn't just travel. This wasn't just an airplane, quote unquote, a Boeing. This was they were as high as you can possibly be. And the Lutzkarov, he says it so beautifully. He says, ordinarily, when somebody finds himself in a dark place and he wants to creep out, it's not so easy to creep out. It could take time. It could be work. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ve'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim. I was thinking that Rav Tzadik HaKoyen says that the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim is something that, although it was an event, it was an episode that happened at one point in history, but every single person can find himself in his own Mitzrayim. And every person has to leave his own Mitzrayim. And a lot of the skulos that you find that happened, b'chipazoy, and the idea of everything that of Mikamoy Dorat, Labrador, Isa Kofalai Kodesh Baruch, Harkagiyas, these are things that sometimes will repeat themselves in a person's life. So perhaps this idea as well, that sometimes a Kodesh Baruch sees a person, he's struggling, he's in a very dark place, he's in a place of Memtesh Sharituma, but there's a midah of the SS from a Kanfinishar, where a Kodesh Baruch will take a person and he'll lift him up to the highest of all highs, the Avi Escha Melai, just to bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something that we could all be zoichet to in our own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim. But just to end on a more technical note, and that is, so what exactly is the Nesha? So again, on wings of eagles, right? It comes from this pasuk, Al Kanfei Nesharim. But is the Nesha really the eagle? So the truth is that it's a machlekes Rishayim. Some Rishayim seem to attribute this Nesher to the eagle, whereas others seem to suggest that it's not. In fact, the Ramban, when the Ramban talks about the Nesher, so the Ramban refers to it as the bald Nesher, which would be very tempting for an amateur to say, oh, the bald Nesher, it's the bald eagle, right? The Nesher is the eagle, the bald eagle, this is the national bird of the United States of America. So it would seem to be a very natural segue. Just lahavdol for a moment, so you know that the bald eagle, that's the symbol. It's the national bird, it's the national animal of the United States of America. It appears on some of your shekels that you have in your pocket. So it's interesting that after the founding fathers decided that the bald eagle should be the national bird, so Benjamin Franklin wrote the following letter. Apparently, he wasn't so happy about it. I quote, he said, I wish that the bald eagle had not been chosen as the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. You may have seen him perched on some dead tree where, too lazy to fish for himself, he watches the labor of the fishing hawk, and when that diligent bird has at length taken a fish and is bearing it to its nest for the support of his mate and young ones, the bald eagle pursues him and takes it from him. Besides, he is a rank coward. The little kingdom, not bigger than a sparrow, attacks him boldly and drives him out of the district. He is therefore by no means a proper emblem for the brave and honest .. of America. Now, his suggestion was that the turkey should be the national bird of the United States. That's a whole other discussion. So, my Muscharishan, I stumbled upon this letter, and I said, oh, look at this. So, the eagle, he's not such a melech after all. I mean, Benjamin Franklin seemed to describe him as a rank coward. He's also a bird of bad moral character. So, I mean, that would explain maybe why he's the symbol of the non-kosher bird. But the truth is, this is all a mistake. Number one, the bald eagle is not bald. It has hair. It has white hair, and because it has white here, based on the etymology of the word bald, he's known as the bald eagle. But it's not simply because he's kareach migano mikan. That's not the reason that he's called the bald eagle. Regardless, this bald nesher that the Ramban was describing was really bald. It really had no hair. But anyway, some do say that the nesher is the eagle. But it seems that the more conventional approach to what exactly the nesher is it's actually a vulture. It's specifically the griffin vulture, G-R-I-F-F-O-N, the griffin vulture. That seems to be what it is. I'll just tell you, I researched it a little bit, just one interesting anecdote, and that is that the griffin vulture flies very, very high. See, I left this at home, I have the wrong page. But regardless, it flies very high. In fact, the highest recorded flight that a bird ever took was in the early 1970s. There was a bird that crashed, believe it or not, with an airplane flying over West Africa. Its altitude was 37,000 feet, and it was none other than the griffin vulture. Rashi says that there's no oif that is pireach higher than the nesher. It's the highest, thus it's able to take its children and not carry it underneath him, but rather put it on top of it. It's the griffin vulture, which it seems most Rishonim held was the nesher.